Welcome to Brown Liquor Podcast, where we explore all things under the rainbow, navigating relationships, life, and friendships, all while enjoying your favorite brown liquor drink. So, let's get into it. What's up, y'all? It is your girl, Shonda D, and we are back with another episode of Brown Liquor, where we discuss all things gayness, navigating relationships, life, and friendships, all while enjoying our favorite brown liquor drink. And this week, y'all, we have a special guest in the house. Say what's up to the people, babe.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Oh, you think you Martin?
No, I'm just, you know, representing for Martin. We about to bring it back for him one time since I did buy the game. And we had some fun with that shit. That's what's up.
So, babe, you back on Brown Liquor. You're visiting as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel?
I feel a little bit out of place. You know, you went ahead and you revamped some things. And, you know, you're still doing things the same, but it's kind of different when mm-hmm. I came through. So, you know, I gotta get used to it and not being a host but a guest. A little different as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna follow your lead, baby.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. So let's go ahead and get into the brown liquor drink of the week. This week's brown liquor drink, we are literally sitting here drinking right now as we speak. So we're just gonna use this alcoholic beverage that we're enjoying right now. And it is 1800 Tequila Añejo and Lemonade. We used 1.5 ounce of tequila, about 3 ounces of lemonade, and then we did a rim shot.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling it.
That's what
I gotta say. Very, very good drink. But I'll say this. The Añejo is not Reposado. Like, they both may be brown. Because I try to tell people, hey, man, you got to get some of this Añejo. And they're like, yeah, I got that. Then they send me a bottle of the Reposado. No, they're both brown, but it's two different types of 1800 tequila. Now, the Añejo will make you lose your life. Our Cancun trip is still a blur. And I'm trying to stay coherent right now so I can do this interview with y'all guys. So, ha! Drink responsibly. Get into the disclaimer.
Okay. Yeah. She already
hear me. Yeah,
she already stumbling over her words. Right, so
I need y'all to, if y'all gonna drink that Añejo, you can order it offline. You gotta go through Mexico though to get that shit. If you ain't going through Mexico, I think you can buy it online, but I say proceed with caution.
It might not be the real thing.
Girl.
With that being said, y'all already know how this go. Don't drink and drive. Please drink while you are home. Drink while you are safe. Drink with people you know, like, and trust. And before we get into the first commercial break of the episode, let me go ahead and explain to y'all again the Vent to Me section that we added to the podcast. So every Monday, I will be posting the link to the Vent to Me link in our group, Brown Liquor Lesbian Conversations. You can tap the link and leave a small message, just venting, getting it off your chest. I feel like a lot of us are holding on to things that are keeping us back from our true purpose and our true potential. So just tap the link and vent. No judgment zone. I won't judge you. If you want to be played on the podcast, I'll play it on the podcast. If you don't want to be played on the podcast, it can be kept between me and you. You could be anonymous. You don't have to say your name. There's no video involved. It's just your voice. So unless people know your voice out there, you have a very distinctive voice, won't nobody know it's you. So just tap the link and get it off your chest.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah.
Say it with your chest.
I told you to use the vent to me the other day when you was over here going off about something and I told you to use it.
Right.
You were supposed to do that, but I don't know what happened. What had happened?
Well, you know me. I be out the house in my little office space. and I'd be doing shit, and I thought I clicked the link, but I didn't click the link. So now I'm here, and I'm going to give my rant to y'all guys in full perspective right here on this episode. So.
So Naked Nikki is visiting us, y'all. As you may or may not know, she was my co-host on prior seasons of the podcast. She left us to pursue bigger and better endeavors, and I can't be mad at
you
her for that.
You cannot say big. I stopped coming through for bigger and better endeavors. That's not true. I'm just trying to scale up in my business.
Well, okay. Okay, all right.
Yeah, like, don't make it seem like I left you for something bigger and better, like. No, I would never do that.
Okay,
bitch,
wrong choice of wording.
Wrong choice of words.
She left the podcast to pursue bigger ventures in her business.
To scale up. I just need to focus a little bit more on what I need to do to scale up. Because my woman, I want my woman to be able to go to work and say, I don't need this shit. My motherfucking woman got 2-3 jobs. I'm out. If she feel like it, like if she don't feel like going to work, she don't have to go to work. And if she want to, she wants to. But that's where I want to be. That's where I need my business to scale up and to be at. That's it. That's all. But that's what I'm doing right now. I'm scaling up and I'm learning different things. But I really need to just, you know, focus and have all attention on my business and my businesses and what it is that I need to do to just scale up. Now, everything I was saying was a joke, but really, really, I'm serious.
Yeah, and you've been doing the damn thing, and I'm proud of you. So, before we go to this commercial break, we got some surprises in store for Naked Nikki. Something that's going to completely take her off guard, and I got her here with us so she can answer these questions live. She's never heard this before, so this is going to be something new, and she's going to stay with us while we do our topic. But before we get into all of that, I have to moonlight y'all a little bit. I gotta swoon you. I gotta make you want to date us. So make sure you follow us on all of our social media. Brown Liquor on everything. Instagram, Facebook is Brown Liquor Lesbian Conversations, and TikTok is Brown Liquor. Follow us, turn your notifications on so you don't miss any updates. We are currently getting ready for PodFest in Atlanta, Black Effects annual PodFest. We went to a podcast fest before, but it was all Wahite people, y'all, and we barely
all what?
Wahites.
Wahite?
Yeah, that's they tribe, Wahite. Yeah, it was all Wahite people. We barely made any connections. We learned a little bit, but we barely made any connections. And this time, going to Charlemagne the God's Black Effect Podcast Network, I am excited. I'm excited. I'm anxious. I'm nervous. I'm all kind of things.
Yeah, babe is nervous because I went ahead and I bought those tickets for us to meet Charlemagne the God. So we're going to be doing the meet and greet. We're doing the podcast Black Effect, but we have the opportunity to go and talk to the God. And ever since I've been on her ass about that, she's been nervous ever since. Like, babe, what you going to say? What you going to do? What questions you got? How you presenting? She's like been going crazy. I'm not going to tell all your business on how, like, she was real scary. In the beginning, when I first told her, she was real scary. And but you know what? I'm glad that I told you and I didn't spring it on you at the end. Because you probably would have just, I don't know.
Freaked out.
Yeah. You would have really had like a
nervous breakdown.
I'm going to say
panic attack. Anxiety attack.
Yeah.
Asthma attack.
Right.
I don't even have asthma.
I was just getting ready to say, I don't even got asthma. But like, really, I'm glad that I did tell you up front and I didn't try to surprise you, because you probably would have really like passed out, hit your head on the motherfucking corner of the goddamn table. Like, I'm going to see Charlemagne the God. He doesn't even like small talk. Yeah, like it crazy. You was going crazy when I first started hitting you with it, to the point to where I was like, I'm not even saying anything else. We'll just let you work it out.
Yeah, so I am still getting our little swag gifts ready to pass out while we are there. I am looking forward to getting a lot of content. I'm looking forward to making a lot of connections and really just putting myself out there, y'all. I have the support of my women, but without the direct support of my women. So, you know, she gonna be there recording for me and helping me out and pushing me to do the things that I need to do. But we are gonna go ahead and get into this commercial break, y'all, and we'll be right back after this. Y'all know what time it is. Go grab your drink, stay tuned. You are gonna wanna be here for this one. Y'all know Naked Nikki is a trip. She, you know, we gotta put a sensor on her all the time. So go and get your drinks, get your snacks, get your blankets, get your covers, do whatever you gotta do, and make sure you bring that ass back. Okay, we'll be right back after this.
Do you have a story to tell and don't know where to start? Have questions about self-publishing? Hit up Emotional Fiction Publishing Firm for all your publishing needs. Follow at Emotional Fiction Publishing on Instagram or Emotional Fiction Publishing Firm on Facebook to get started now.
All right, y'all, we are back with another episode of Brown Liquor. We are back from our first commercial break. And this time I am going to do something a little different. Mm-hmm. I have here with me my fiance, Naked Nikki. And I want her to address these questions that Charlamagne asked. Speaking of Charlamagne Tha God, we talked about his podcast fest on the last segment. But on his podcast, Brilliant Idiots, he asked some studs some questions.
Here you go with that bullshit. And so, you didn't even prep me.
So I want to play this clip for her and have her answer the questions live on our show, Brown Liquor. All right. She hasn't heard this clip. She knew I mentioned it to her before, but this will be her first time hearing this. So I'm going to play the clip.
I forgot, y'all. I be so busy doing my thing. This is all a surprise to me. But I love you, though, babe. So bring it on. Come on. All
right. Let's go. Yeah. All right. So yeah, I'm just going to play it.
I respect commitment, yo. If you get fake titties, are you committed?
Yes. You're committed to wanting big titties.
What?
I'm not
wait,
mad at
just wait.
Shout out to all the studs, though. We appreciate you, man. You know what I mean?
How did the studs come on your radar? Yeah. What happened with the studs?
No, I've just been noticing them for a while, but I've been noticing people not noticing them the way that
And why aren't they noticing the studs?
I don't know. I think because, you know, when you have, like, male energy in that space, I don't know if it's just respected. Because yes, even the studs love the femmes. You know what I'm saying? The studs even love the film. No, the studs fit in with us.
That's the homies.
You know, they're the homies.
That's the homies.
You know? So I think it's kind of like that in a way. Like, so nobody really, like, looks at them and think that they have empathy.
Yeah.
Nobody really has sympathy for them because they give off, like, the manly energy. Like, it's kind of like us as men. Like, people are just starting to care about our feelings just a little bit.
Yo, question. If you're a stud, and we need studs to answer this, do you always take the strap with you? Because as a dude, like, you're strapped all the time.
Okay, so that's question one.
Okay.
As a stud, do you always take the strap with you? That's Andrew Schultz. No. That's his partner. Wait, no. you don't have to answer right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, hold on.
Meaning, like, you're ready to go. If you're single, you're ready to exactly you know shoot. We're shooters out here.
Pull up like
so the studs, let's say you're kicking game, like, you need to have it on you. What if you kick game with a girl at the gym? You need to have it on. You got to have that thing on.
And do girls care about how big a stud strap on is?
I mean, you got to have...
Question two.
Yes.
Do girls care about how big your strap is?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Multiple. You got to be able to look at a girl.
Shit, that ain't fair, yo. That ain't fair.
Yeah, it's not fair.
They probably can eat vagina better than us, and they got multiple strap on.
Hit it on the nerve. You hit it right there on the nerve.
What?
Charlamagne. Females can fuck around, eat coochie better than us, and then... they have different strap-on devices, different sizes. He said it right there, like, we're winning. Studs is winning. We're fucking winning. Okay, play the track. Play the track.
All we got is what we got.
What we got is what
we got. What you got is what you got. We wind it back for the people, baby.
Wipe this girl. If you're a stud, and we need studs to answer this, do you always take the strap with you?
Okay, so we already talked about it.
Right.
You're strapped all the time. But meaning, like, you're ready to go. If you're single, you're ready to exactly you know shoot. We're shooters out here.
Pull up like
so the studs, let's say you're kicking game, like you need to have it on you. What if you kick game with a girl at the gym? You need to have it on. You got to have that thing on.
And do girls care about how big a stud strap on is?
I mean, you got to have multiple.
Absolutely, yes.
You got to be able to look at a girl.
Shit, that ain't fair, though.
And it has to be proportionate to your weight.
Oh, to the stud. Yes.
Oh,
proportionate to the weight. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
What else?
His vagina better than us, and they got multiple strap-ons.
Depending on the girl.
Exactly.
I mean, all we got is what we got.
There it is, right there.
What we got.
What y'all got is what y'all got, and it gets soft after you come, and then us. It don't matter. Our shit is not getting soft. It don't get soft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
You mean, do you clean your strap on before having sex with other women?
Yes.
I mean, I would hope you would clean your strap.
Yo, who got the Brilliant Studs podcast? I need to know more about studs. Is there a Studs You Should Know podcast?
We need a Studs.
Like, no, a stuff pod, you should know? There's Studs You Should Know. Like, I want to
hear. Is there a Studs You Should Know
podcast?
There's
some really specific things about their culture.
Is that where I need to come in at, baby?
Do you wear the strap regularly? You just let that shit hang?
There's females that do wear the strap regularly.
Number two, do you tape down your titties? Or do you just let them hang? And if you don't tape them down, are you considered a stud for real?
Here's the thing.
And do you tape them down? Or is it like something, or do you just wear like what tight ass, what's the shit called, Taylor, that y'all be wearing?
What? White beaters?
Sports bras.
Yeah.
You wear a tight ass sports bra just to keep them concealed.
Mm-hmm. Why are they embarrassed about their tits?
They
want to
be.
But there are
they
guys. Be
incorrect, Taylor. Studs do not want to be mean. That's false.
Is that what she said?
Yes.
It's like she whispered it.
Yeah.
Like she really didn't want nobody to hear what the fuck she was saying.
Well, Taylor is one of the producers. She's not really on the show, but they mentioned her a lot and they started bringing her in a lot because they mentioned her a lot. So okay, she started sharing her opinion sometimes when they, you know, because she's one of the producers on The Breakfast Club and Brilliant and Idiot.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So we need to run down on Charlamagne Tha God to give him a little bit of insight on what's going on in the gay community. And with us studs and with us femmes, because you said too that you need to be the national, you know, gay spokesperson
for the Breakfast Club
because they be getting shit the fuck wrong.
They do, but okay. It's not over.
So I gotta keep listening.
Cool, it's only like a minute more.
They like our energy. They like the way we move.
Yeah.
They like that masculinity. They like that testosterone.
Yo, salute what to happened? The studs, man.
Shout out studs.
All the stud muffins out there. We appreciate you.
I'm going to feel Charlamagne's ass when I get down.
Shakurdy
probably going to throw me on the ground.
Yes. Is there a stud day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be, right? Like, I want to celebrate the studs. I'm not even joking. I wish we could have a stud on the pod. Yo, is Sam J a stud?
I don't think Sam.
Yeah, no,
Sam J.
Strap for sure.
National Stud Day was February
5th. Holy shit. Really? Yo, it would be fire if it was February 15th.
Why?
Just the day after Valentine's. The studs be out here breaking hearts. That's why I call them toxic studs, man.
Wait, why?
Studs because they be out here turning girls out because they eat it crazy. Then they got multiple strap ons. And they
multiple
be turning
devices.
Girls out and breaking hearts. Man, I've known plenty of women to get turned out by us.
Taylor almost got turned out.
Taylor almost got turned out.
And it wasn't even a stud. You're lucky it wasn't a stud.
Okay, I think that's pretty much the end of the rant. Because it was about 9 minutes or whatever that I wrote down that was the end of the rant. So how did you feel about what he said in that clip of the podcast? He brings up studs like, again in this episode, but it's not.
I feel like Charlamagne wants a stud to come and like smack him on the ass and tell him that. It's okay. That's number one. Number two, yes, Charlamagne, like you got it right. Yeah, like we are, like we got the tongue. And if we're paying attention, because there's a lot of females out there that be eating females scoochie and they still don't be getting it right. I feel like I feel like you have to be in tune with your woman, you know, and that's just, these are the same rules that apply to men. Like you have to be in tune with your woman.
Yeah.
All women are different. Some women like it fast. Some women like it slow to the groove and like a little bit of fingertips in there. And then, you know, some like it circles, some like it wide bent. So there's a whole bunch of different things that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Charlamagne got it right with number two. Yeah, we can eat coochie. Females can eat coochie. Niggas can eat coochie, but females can eat coochie.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we have dildos. They come in all different shapes and sizes. Some of them vibrate. Some of them hum. You know what I mean? Is humming and vibrating the same type of
pretty
thing?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty
much. At the end of the day, though, we have different devices to make the coochie do what it do.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that men are not equipped with. I mean, you might get a little curve.
Right.
With a guy, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
A little hook that may hit that G-spot, may not, depending on how the nigga can work that shit. But if a female got that strap and got that energy and know what the fuck to do with it, then yeah, it's going down. But I will say this, Charlamagne, the God, to the God. Fucking is not easy. So I'm going to give you a round of applause. You should have had the clap button. I should have prepared you for that. The clap button. I'm going to, you know what I'm saying, give a clap out to all the guys who have penises that can last longer than, you know what I'm saying, 3 to 5 minutes. Especially if the coochie's good. I can't even really feel it. And I've, you know what I'm saying, been on that planet high to where was in there looking like Martin, toes all curled up like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Just from the emotional
connection, you know what I'm saying, of it all.
Connection of it.
Right.
But I will say this, bitch, I was pumping and breathing. That shit was like an exercise. That's a lot of work. Fucking is a lot of work. So, you know, I have to give it up to my guys because there, you know, there's some quick pumpers out there, but I could see how you can fall down in the fold. Okay. That's all I got.
That's all you got. Everything he said.
Yeah, I'm just going to end it like that.
How do you feel about him referring to studs as toxic studs?
To me, you know, like Charlamagne just being Charlamagne. Some of us is toxic. A lot of us are toxic, and the ones that are not toxic, we were toxic at one time, and that's just my fucking opinion because that's where I'm at in life. I'm a lot better today for you than I was when I was navigating through coming out and trying to figure out who I want to be and what type of lesbian that I want to represent. So I feel like there was a lot of toxicity in those moments because I didn't know who I was. Okay. I didn't know who I was. You know what I'm saying?
And that's real.
That's some real shit right there. We're just out here trying to figure it out. And, you know, people throw toxic around a lot. Oh, toxic, 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 man. At one point in life, not just for, you know, gay people, for straight people, I just say for all people, we're all toxic because we're all trying to figure it out.
Yeah, we all fucked up in some kind of way.
In some type of way. If it's within our upbringing or once we've had our upbringing and you know, what has been presented to us in society, it's, as my man, who I like, Moneybagg, yo, why you acting weird to me? Yeah, like that should just be weird. It's weird until you actually figure out your path. Mm-hmm. And after you figure out your path, man, you still trying to figure out some shit to just make sure that you stay straight on your path.
Right.
Yeah, so it is what it is. So, you know, him saying the word toxic, to me, is not offensive. To somebody else, it may be. But to me, it's not. It's all a part of the journey.
I agree. I feel like it's just Charlamagne being Charlamagne. Yeah. I don't think he means toxic in a
bad way.
Negative connotation. I feel like he means it as like the stigma of all studs being, you know, just as bad as men.
I'm gonna say that, and I'm gonna say this too. I feel like he giving us a leg up because, like he said, like I know a lot of females that got turned out. So it could be the toxicity of that. Like, yo, you better not be out here trying to mess with these fucking studs. These studs be on some other shit.
Think it's sweet.
Yeah, and think it's sweet. And at the end of the day, I'm gonna give a shout out to the ladies. Like, please, no, in my Kevin Hart voice, in my best Kevin Hart voice. No, please do not approach women thinking that it's going to be an easy road or that you scapegoat in some shit out here because we're worse than men.
In some ways.
In a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways.
Period. And I'll just say this. We're women and as creatures, we know other women. And I feel like we're more dangerous than being with a man because we know how to play on
another woman's emotions.
Exactly.
And thought process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially after you have a conversation. And us as women, we'll sit down and we'll talk. especially if you have that type of woman out talk. And if the other person is really listening and you pouring your heart out just through conversation, you're giving them all the ammunition
to take that full they need advantage.
To take full advantage mm-hmm. of how to
manipulate you.
Yep. If that's where
they're at. I just keep cutting you off.
No, you're not cutting me off, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you're filling in the blanks. But if that woman that you're sitting across from already has that manipulative thing in their mind on what it is that they're going to do, you know, as women, we're just being women, and it's just all a fucking setup. I feel like it's the same thing with the taxes. All a fucking 22, my father.
You just been dealing with the, that's what you were supposed to use to vent to me for the tax situation.
Yeah,
and you never did do it. And now it's coming back up.
Yeah, I know. It hurts me. And it's the same way with, you know what I'm saying, dealing with women. It hurts me. And I don't feel like all women come off like that. I feel like sometimes it's just something that happens and then you become the asshole. And that's how us as women and us, you know, and us as men, or when you try to put us all together, the same bunch as studs, that's where we all commingle at. None of us ain't shit. For real.
That's our common ground.
That's our common ground. Okay. Yes. That's the common ground. But still, women are worse because we know how to really entangle if we really want to entangle and really listen. And because we got that magical swag that goes on top of that swag, egg. Mm. And I'm talking about the straps and the licks and the fingerishes type shit. You
see, this is why we need video, because they needed to see that move that you just did. Yeah. Yeah.
Woo! Woo! Wee! That's how I got you, baby.
Don't be telling my business.
I'm going to shut the hell up. Yeah, right
don't
now.
Be telling okay, my business. Okay. All right, y'all.
I fucks with Charlamagne, though, and he does. He's on the money. But as you said earlier, then we're going to move on to the next topic. Yes, they do need a certified LGBTQIA representative in that squad that they can call up to be like, yo, this is what the fuck we talking about today. We need y'all to, you know what I'm saying? We need you to give your opinion on what's going on in the community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm putting my ring in the hat for that, because they do. They be saying a lot of wrong shit on the Breakfast Club. I know one time they mentioned something about studs don't date studs. They only date femmes. And I'm like, that's incorrect. They just be saying a lot of stuff. I know it's ignorant to them because they aren't a part of the community. So the expectations.
They're just what they see.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't expect them to know things that they're not a part of. So I don't blame them for that. But in order to be a part of the solution and not the problem, let me help you.
Right.
Let me be your nationally syndicated certified LGBTQ plus specialist.
And you cute.
I'm a little cute.
Is you going to go to Diddy party if you get invited?
No.
I'll
go to the party, but not the party party.
Not the after party?
Not the after party.
Bitch,
party.
We going to the after party.
No, we not.
Well, you seen. Okay, I'm going to just.
Yeah. So see, no, you ain't Diddy. Been here in a minute. We already been talked about Diddy. We are Diddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's next up?
All right, y'all. With that being said, we are going to take another break. We'll come back with another segment of Brown Liquor Podcast. I'm going to be back with what you watching, and then we're going to get into our topic with Naked Nikki. All right, y'all. Stay tuned, because y'all know this is going to be a hoot and a holler. Okay? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, y'all. So before we get back into the fun with Naked Nikki and all of her drama, let's go ahead and get into the segment, What You Watching? Now, I will say I'm learning how to produce this podcast as I go. So I'm going to try to keep this segment, like, I'm going to try to do one whole show in one segment, but this was just really deep. So sometimes I may get it all done in one segment, sometimes I may not, but hopefully you have watched it by now. Now there's the episode 5, so we'll still be coming back to this. We still got 4 and 5 to get into, but right now we're on episode 3 of The Dark Side of TV, the Nickelodeon documentary. And y'all, this one is where it got real. All right, so now in comes Drake Bell from the Drake and Jock Show. He starts off by saying he's never told this story publicly. He talks about his childhood and how he started acting at a very young age. And his dad is on there too. His dad discusses how close their relationship was. And basically, he was his manager. He taking him back and forth to auditions and made sure he kept an eye on him while he was around other adults. Drake's dad became very uncomfortable with the friendship that Drake and Brian Peck was forming. From Brian always being in the dressing room to offering Drake the opportunity to have his birthday party at his house, taking him to Disney, and because doing all the things a predator would do to lure a child in and get them to trust him. As the dad grew more and more uncomfortable with these things, Brian worked to get his dad pushed out of the equation and eventually made Drake fire his dad as his manager. He replaced Drake's dad with his mom. Now, the mom didn't really pay as much attention. The dad told her, like, never leave Drake unattended around Brian Peck or any other adults for that matter. And absolutely, sure enough, she did just that. Drake starts trying to describe the sexual abuse he encountered from Brian and becomes visibly uncomfortable. His body language tells it all. He's squirming around in his seat, pulling and tugging on his suit jacket. Then he says, imagine the worst things you could do to somebody as a sexual assault, and that'll answer your question. He says it wasn't a one-time thing or an oops. Now, this leads me to think of multiple variations of the things that could have happened to him, because the worst things, that's a little open-ended. He says he vividly remembers the abuse, but vaguely remembers all the good things that happened during his career because they were overshadowed by the abuse. He says he prayed and hoped the abuse would stop, but it didn't. He ended up getting a girlfriend and spent most of his time at her house. Even her mom was able to pick up on the abuse that was happening to him. So how the hell didn't his mom see it? Like, a stranger could pick up on something happening to your child before you can? I don't understand that. The girlfriend's mom suggests taking Drake to see their family therapist because she senses he's in danger. After one night, Brian Peck excessively calls Drake's cell phone and then starts to call the girlfriend's house to reach him. Drake says it was all a form of mental manipulation. In 2003, Brian tried to get Drake to convince Dan Schneider, to make him a dad on the show. Drake randomly exploded and blew up on his mom and told her everything that had been happening. She called the police, and of course he had to give them all the details of all the different accounts of all the abuse. Drake had to set up a phone call to Brian to get him to admit all the things he'd done. Brian starts a full confession while they're on this phone call, gets arrested, and gets charged. Now, throughout this whole thing, Drake never describes exactly what happened to him, but in the court documents, they include sodomy, forcible penetration, using a foreign object, employment of a minor for pornography, or oral copulation with a minor under 16 years of age, which, I don't even know what copulation is. We're going to have to look that up. Now, Drake's name was never released in the paperwork because he was a minor at the time. So when he was getting phone calls from people asking him if he heard what happened to Brian, you know, he started getting different phone calls from people on the set, people that he worked with, you know, asking him, did he hear what happened? And he was having to relive this situation all over again because nobody knew it was him. So Dan Schneider asked Drake straight up if Brian was doing these things to him, and Drake admitted it to him. Drake called his dad to tell him Brian got arrested. The dad shares his relief and says, I'm so glad he never got his hands on you. Meanwhile, he doesn't know his son is the sole reason that the man got arrested and was charged. Drake turned to alcohol and drugs to escape his reality, and then the episode ends. So there's one more episode to this. I don't know. I might just go ahead and add it on to here so we can go get rid of this, because this negativity, honey. As a matter of fact, yeah, let's keep going. Let's go ahead and get into episode 4, because I want to get on to Hoochie Daddy season 2. We're watching that as well. And I just want y'all to know, some variations of what you're watching may be what you're reading, what you're listening to. You know what I'm saying? So it's not going to always be a TV show, but I do want to go ahead and get over this. So we're going to go ahead and do episode 4. So episode 4, this originally was the last episode of the documentary. Now, after it was released and everybody was talking about it, they decided to release episode 5, and that episode is supposed to have Amanda Bynes on it. I haven't watched it yet, so I got to see what they talk about on episode 5. Maybe we'll do episode 5 on the next episode. Actually, the next episode is going to be an extra because we will be at Podfest. So maybe we'll do episode 5 on the episode after that. Anyway, we're going to get into episode 4 right now. So on episode 4, it says, on the day of sentencing, Brian Peck has a lot of supporters on his side in the courtroom. He was sentenced to 16 months in jail and had to register as a sex offender. This journalist petitioned the court to have the documents unsealed to dig deeper into who was supporting Brian through all of this. And sure enough, comes the letters of support written to the judge on Brian's behalf. 41 letters, y'all. 41 letters support. 41 people wrote letters to support this man. James Marsden, an actor we've seen on Death at a Funeral. He plays Zoe Saldana's high boyfriend in that movie. He's on Walk of Shame and Anchorman, just to name a few. Wrote a letter of support, which we come to find out he had been working with Brian Peck since he was a teenager. So he probably did some things to him too. I'm not saying, but saying. Taryn Killam, who played in Night School, he also was an actor on All That, wrote a letter of support. Alan Thicke, Robin Thicke's daddy, wrote a letter of support. Thomas DeSanto, Ron Melendez, Ryder Strong, Will Friedle from Boy Meets World all wrote letters of support. Joanna Kearns and Growing Pains, Joanna Kearns from Growing Pains said Brian must have been tempted to act in such a manner and has now since made a statement saying that she was misinformed. And if she knew what she now knows, she would have never written the letter of support. Kimmy Robertson writes a letter victim blaming, saying that he was pushed. Rich and Beth Cordell, directors of the Amanda Show, wrote letters saying they'd be honored to work with Brian again. And they did, in fact, do so on the Disney show Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. Now you see why I say Disney is next to be exposed, honey. Because they gonna have to come to the front of the congregation. Because you can't tell me that this man got out and went over to work at down to the Disney and ain't nothing happened. So in 2005, another case, Ezell Channel brought a male child to the Nickelodeon set, the Nickelodeon Burbank set, and molested him there on set. He had prior charges of sexual offense to a child, and Nickelodeon didn't catch it. Fast forward to the mid-2000 eras on Nick. They're having even more popular breakout stars like Jamie Lynn Spears, Ariana Grande, iCarly, feature Miranda Cosgrove, And Dan gains power because he has all of the popular shows that are making Nickelodeon a lot of money. These shows included many adult jokes and references to sex and plenty sexual innuendos. He would always get massages on set from team members. Dan even eventually moved. He was eventually removed from the show. He was barred from having any interactions with the cast. He wasn't fired. He just couldn't work directly with them. Then the Me Too movement hit. More and more people started talking about inappropriate work environments. A costumer came forth and told her story. In 2018, he finally gets fired. Then the episode ends with the destruction of these child stars like Drake filing for bankruptcy, Amanda Bynes, mental health issues, self-esteem issues, and other actors, etc. So, like I said, episode 5, we'll get into what happens on there. Hopefully Amanda Bynes does tell her story, because we've all kind of, especially if you grew up in that area and you really was watching Nickelodeon, then you want to know, like, what happened to Amanda Bynes? Because all of a sudden we seen this downward spiral and we were just like, yo, like, this is not the same Amanda Bynes that we watched. But all right, we gonna get into the topic with Naked Nikki, let her, you know, tell her story, and we'll be back.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Shonda D, and the Brown Liquor Travel Lounge is here, specializing in cruises and international travel. So get your passports ready and pack your bags, because, baby, Brown Liquor Travel Lounge has the perfect travel packages for you. If you are looking to travel overseas and don't know where to start, hit us up with the dates in mind, your final destination, and an ideal budget, and let us handle the rest. Send us an email to brownliquor@gmail.com to get started today.
All right, you guys, we are back with the topic. Oh, Lord, Jesus. I guess the añejo is hitting me because my words was just all fucked up.
A little bit on a slur.
We are back with the topic segment of Brown Liquor.
Well, now you put the deep little sexy voice on that shit.
Maybe because I'm looking at you in your eyes while I'm talking.
Is that what it is? It was sexiness that was going like all through here.
It was communicating through the eyes.
It was communicating.
I was sexting you with my eyes.
You definitely was. Mm.
Well,
I love you.
I love you too.
You fucking better, bitch.
You trying to get some?
Girl, I'm trying to get on your insurance. Can we get married tomorrow?
Oh, lady, bro? See, this is why you can't trust old motherfuckers.
Come on. But I'm a good cash, though. I just want your insurance. Shit. I just put your name on all the money documents. So you good. I can't get no insurance.
That is a shame.
Girl, look, before, when is open enrollment?
October.
Yeah, before October, bitch, we won't be down there at the marriage license people. Yeah. And for people that don't know, my cousin actually just told me this, guys, because I didn't know. So when you go to get your marriage license,
you got to back up. You got to tell people what's going on.
Which way?
We're in the midst of wedding planning.
We are. They know we getting married.
I mean, some people know we're getting married, but we may have new listeners. We're in the midst of wedding planning.
Okay, and so you feel me.
So we're in the midst of wedding planning, and we've been weighing all of our options. Right. We wanted to do a beach wedding. We looked at prices for that, and then we decided on a thing. I'm not going to say it just yet because everybody don't know yet, and everybody don't need to know just yet. Mm-hmm. But we decided on a thing, and that's what we're going with. But before we do that thing, we have to go and apply for our marriage license. And right. When you get a marriage license, they basically marry you right then.
Right there on the spot.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to my cousin, and she's like, cuz, I didn't know that. I thought that we were just going to go sign some paperwork, and then we get married when we got married.
But see,
and I don't be our official date. She's like, motherfuckers is running around out here making up their own goddamn anniversary
date. I don't think every city requires that. I don't think every county requires that.
What do you mean?
I do think there are some places where you can just literally go and sign the paperwork and leave. You don't have to have the whole little man.
But you're still married.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, like, you're still married. Like, you might not have to have the ceremony or nothing to that effect, you know what I'm saying, to say your I do's, but you are still married on paper. Once you step into that marriage, what is it? Marriage what? Baby.
The license?
Exactly. The department. That marriage license department.
Marriage license department. That's what you're going to call it?
That's where we're going. That's where we're going.
Because I know that's not what it's called. But okay. It's just an amazing right.
The marriage. We're going with the marriage license department.
Okay.
Yeah. Once you step your foot in there and y'all sign that paperwork, it you're married.
You're bound by law.
You're married.
Okay.
So if we were to do that on May the 5th, we can have our wedding May the 5th, 2025, and we ain't got to worry about no paperwork or nothing. We already been married a year. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So you said all that to say you want my insurance.
And no, I'm saying that I want your hand in marriage, baby, that I love you.
Yeah.
The insurance is just going to be a benefit. Because my knees is bad. Y'all know my knees is bad. Shit. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to work it out right now. But you know that I love you. And you on all the money accounts. You are. So if I should be able to have insurance while I'm living. You got the money in
there. How you know I didn't take the life insurance policy out of you? I got my life insurance. How you know I didn't take
it? Girl, if you did, so be it. Hell yeah. I'm not mad at you if you took a life insurance policy out on me. Now, if my hair start falling out because you're cooking for me, that's a whole nother buffet of lifetime story type shit. Now I got to investigate. My poop is changing colors and I can't see right when I wake up. Yes. And if you offer routine, because you're really not a breakfast cooker. That's me. That's my job. Now, if you waking up in the morning and I'm getting teas and breakfast and, you know, powdered sugar on my fruit, bitch, there's a problem. And now I got vision problems and stuff like that because you took out the life insurance policy. Then yeah, now we on some lifetime shit, bitch. I might have to tase you and go through your paperwork and your file. Yeah.
Did you hear the story about the man that was trying to steal the other man's wife, and so he started putting estrogen in his smoothies?
I heard about that.
And he started getting real feminine and growing titties and all that shit.
Because he wanted, yeah, I did. Because
he wanted to steal his wife.
Yeah. That was some old, was that some Breakfast Club shit? Mm-hmm. I could have swore I was listening
that to was
that.
That was Donkey
of the Day. Donkey of the Day, yep.
Absolutely. Okay. All right, y'all. We are so off subject, but that's what happens when Naked Nikki comes on the podcast.
But this is hilarious and this is funny.
Yes. Shit. This week's topic is about how do you grieve a partner, not just in loss of death, but also in a breakup. And I wanted you to come on the podcast not only to address what I played for you, what Charlamagne said earlier, but also because I know you have dealt with a lot of loss in your life. Mm-hmm. And you've had a lot of loss of partners, and I felt like you would be the perfect person to come on and shed some light on the topic.
Okay. Now, I'm just going to start off with this. I feel like, you know, the way that you presented the question, is you shouldn't have put all of it together.
In one.
Yes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you grieve a partner that you lost and in a breakup? Because for one, like, it's two totally different things. But since our first discussion about how you presented the question, because I said you should have dumbed it down a little bit and gave, you know what I'm saying?
One part or the other,
and then came back. And you said, no, you should have been able to, you know, address your question the way that you wanted to address your question. And just from us having that dialogue then until now, I hear you. And I want to speak on grieving a ex first that you break up with. And this is how I'm going to start it. And this is I'm going to be 100%, and this is totally just being honest. I've always been a person that tried to stay connected with an ex. Like, I didn't want any bad blood, you know what I'm saying? And and I feel like it all depends on how the relationship ended. If the relationship ended on, you know what I'm saying, because of me, you know, and of course, like, if you still have an attachment, I'm not even going to say feelings, because sometimes it don't even be about trying to get back with that person. It's just that attachment on where you were at in your life at that present time that y'all were dating. You know what I'm saying? That you keep that latch, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, like, I want us to be friends, you know? And that's how I used to be, like, man, I ain't got no bad blood. I want to be friends with my ex.
Right.
That was, you know, 20s and 30s, even I'll say until this day. Actually, babe, like, really until I got with you, I really felt like I had to be cool with all of my exes. So I feel like your question, like, how do you grieve an ex, a person that you were dating? In my sense, it's letting that perspective go of having to be a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I feel like back then I may have ruined some good relationships just by trying to hold on to, you know, friendships,
mm-hmm,
of exes that really
didn't serve you in any way.
No.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And today, in this day and age, I would never sacrifice trying to be friends with an ex for a relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm with you. You know what I mean? You don't, like, we don't go through each other's phones or, mm-hmm, nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? So
there's a trust factor.
We have a trust factor, but I would never want you to just walk past my phone and it just light up just because I want to be out here trying to be friends with an ex or something like that, and anything could just pop up on the screen that you may not understand.
And I take it out of context.
Out of context,
right,
yeah,
right.
That, from some lingo, and that's happened to me before. So I feel like grieving an ex, not grieving, but letting that, you know what I'm saying, aspect go.
Yeah.
In a good, positive way. They may grieve it. And I'll say this too. I'm grieving letting my old ways go so that I can be a better person for where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel about that aspect of it. You know, like, grieving somebody that I've broken up with. I feel like after you presented that question to me, I am now grieving letting it go. And I'm not even going to say grieving. I'm just say processing it.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, grieving is just that. You're processing.
I was going to say,
letting shit go.
That was the intent behind the question. I wanted people to really get into their process of what they go through when they experience a breakup. Yes, I know by saying grief, people were automatically going to assume loss.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because I did too.
In loss, like, a word like grief can have so many different connotations, like, mm-hmm, grief of friendships, grief of a relationship with your siblings, grief, mm-hmm, of, you know what I mean? Like, all those different aspects. But at the same time, for this particular question, what I really wanted people to get into was, like, what do you do after a breakup? Maybe that's just what I should have said.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do after a breakup? And we did have that conversation that you mentioned earlier, and I do, it bothers me that I feel like we have to dumb stuff down sometimes for this social media world. Like, it does. It bothers me because I just feel like
us as a people, educated or not, like, I feel like we should be able to have these conversations and it not go to one particular thing. You know what I mean? Like I said,
but
like,
you have to address it like that. And this is what I'm just going to go back to something that you just told me about cleaning up. I don't know, babe. Like, you want me to do things the way that you want it to be done, but you have to tell me what it is that you want and show me what it is that you want for me to be able to go ahead and articulate that correctly. Mm-hmm. So in certain things, like, I don't even feel like it has to be on, like, you know, like social media or whatnot. Sometimes it has to be broken down like that in conversation too. Because if I didn't see it on, you know what I'm saying, Facebook, and we were just having the same conversation face to face, I would have still asked you those same questions, you know what I'm saying? So I don't want us to put it on Facebook. Just sometimes, like, the way that you're asking a question, like, you have to simplify it a little bit more so that you can get the responses that you want.
Okay. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. So for you, how would you say, we talked a little bit about, like, your process with kind of letting go of a partner, mm-hmm. but what would you say is your process, like, after a breakup? Like, do you take time to yourself? Do you put all of your time into working out?
Oh, no, man. It was a whole fucking clusterfuck. Shit. Back in my 20s, I was drinking. And no, like, when I broke up with a bitch, I was trying to find somebody else to date so that I can forget about that person. And if I wasn't, then I was man down. I was doing bad. I was crying and wasn't eating. And, you know, it was a big fucking whirlwind.
And I get that it's different for every relationship. Because some relationships are more meaningful. Some you just get over real quickly. And, you know, so I do see what you mean when you say, like, you have to put the question in context, because it can be different levels to it.
Yeah. Definitely different levels. And I feel like it all depends on where you're at in your life too, and how old you are.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
your maturity level.
Your maturity level, yeah. Right, to answer that question. So you gave two good questions, two in-depth questions, you know what I'm saying, to where, yes, people really could have broke it down and got real, but you have to ask yourself this too, on social media. Who is going to be real with you in this day and age? Like, everything is so fucking color coded out here.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Never, like, you never know. You may, I'm not going to say I'm the last of a dying breed, but I'm a little bit older now. I think now, you know, because I'm in my 40s, I don't give a fuck. Like, I can speak my truth and I don't care about what nobody thinks.
Right.
Versus a young buck. A young buck is going to get them, that 20-year-old stud is going to give you what? I didn't care. I went and bought me a Gucci belt and I went and got with the next bra. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're going to get two different types of answers. So, yeah.
That's true. That's something to take into consideration.
Yeah, this was just, this is that the question that you're asking is a very rounded question.
It's a nuanced question.
Okay.
To where basically that just means it has different aspects, different angles to where you can answer the question
right
in different ways.
Right.
It's a very nuanced question. As for me, the way I grieve relationships and the way I've grieved the loss of friendships has been different. Mm-hmm. I haven't had any of my exes pass away, God forbid. As much as I wouldn't want to be with them, I don't want them to die.
Right, right, right.
So there's that. But I will say the way that I grieve friendships and the way that I've grieved relationships are completely different. And it's funny because I'm going to do an extra podcast episode about people pleasing and about faith journeys and failed friendships and all that stuff. All of this came to me today while I was walking,
But anyway, for relationships, for me, I'm a Sagittarius, so I'm all in my feelings. I'm all in my emotions. I am emotional. I'm not going to front about that. That's nothing to play with or joke about. So I have my 2 days of crying and eating ice cream and drinking liquor. And then after that,
Oh, this is for when you break up?
Yeah. Okay. Then after that, it's back to, let me get this body right so I can get back on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I be
standing on business.
Listen to me, honey. It ain't no motivator greater than you being single to get your ass up and work out. Your
feelings hurt, right?
Yes.
And it's crazy that you said that, because now that I'm with you and I'm happy, we're about to get married, I say it all the time, like, I got so much happy weight on me, and I never knew how much I operated out of pain until I found happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm just now,
that was deep.
That is deep, and that's some real shit. I was so used to operating out of pain, like, my most memorable moments were created within, you know what I'm saying, me having me going through trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I have you, I'm happy. I've learned how to accept me being who I am.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're going through the 20s and 30s, you're trying to figure shit out.
Still navigating, yeah.
Right? Like, I'm still navigating. I think, you know, as long as you're living, you're always going to be navigating.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I'm okay with Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, I'm really, you know, cool. I'll have no fucking...
You're comfortable in the skin you're in.
I'm comfortable in the skin that I'm in. And, bitch, I put on an extra 40 pounds.
We both. Yeah.
And I'm totally, like, relaxed. And right now, I'm still trying to learn. Now I have to figure out how to navigate and how to do certain things, like, right, and stay consistent in certain areas, mm-hmm, of my life without the pain. You know what I mean? I don't have anything painful, really, to write about. Yeah. And it makes it hard. You know what I'm saying? There's another...
As an author,
I would say for me to really navigate period through life, because, you know, all of my life, I was always struggling to be up.
Level up. Mm-hmm.
Be up. Now that I'm up and I'm leveled up, you know, I'm very fucking relaxed. And I feel like everything slowed down.
I feel like you're still pushing to level up in a different way now. Now that you're an entrepreneur, now that you are doing it for yourself, you're finding different ways to level up in a new way that serves you, but also that'll make you some money.
That's true, but still, the hustler in me has been silent.
Yeah.
For a while, yes. I need to get back to the hustle. I need to get back to basically figuring out how to be me without, you know what I'm saying, enduring the pain. And I do. I love you for that. And there's nothing wrong with, you know what I'm saying, with that. But I'm going to say this to all the people who have been in the struggle and have been in the struggle all of their lives. And this is why I feel like sometimes we go back to struggle, because we don't know how to navigate.
Without
it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just got to stay strong, stay your course, and, you know what I'm saying, figure it out. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm really just trying to, like, figure it out. I have no complaints. There's absolutely nothing wrong in my immediate life circle going on with me right now. Absolutely happy. I have a wonderful fiance. I live in Florida. The sunshine is kissing me on my skin. I do not want or need anything. I can afford anything that I need as of right now, anything that you need. I could take care of us. You could take care of us. So, you know, like, I'm totally blessed. So I have to really figure out, and that's where I'm at really at right now, babe. Like, learning how to navigate without being
in pain and being on that grind. You know what I'm saying? I've been on the grind for so long through pain. I lost 50 pounds through pain. I published several books through pain. I created a publishing company through pain. I started a travel company with my mom, you know, to do the books. But in the end of the day, I wanted to come up and show people that, yes, I could do this too, mm-hmm. through pain. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to produce something through being happy.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
I got you. Okay. I'm with you.
All right.
What do you think that looks like for you, though?
It looks like right here, right now. What I'm doing.
Trying to figure it out now.
It's not I'm trying to figure it out now.
I'm
living it and I'm doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we appreciate you, girl, for coming through and checking in with Brown Liquor. You know, missed you.
I know we did, but we need another 15 minutes because I still didn't answer the other part of the question. So I'm going to need you to go on break. I had an already. You know what I'm saying? Suck up some minutes, but this is going to be an extra motherfucking curricular activity episode.
Oh.
Does all that sound like making sense?
Yeah.
All right. So then, bitch, go to commercial and then come back. And we're going to talk about the, you know, the grieving process of losing someone that you've been in a relationship with. Because we still didn't talk about that.
Okay.
So you were trying to cut my episode short. But you know I like to talk. I'm in here. And you got me on the Anae. Ho? Ho?
So do you just want to go into how do you grieve being with somebody that you were in a relationship with?
I do, but you go on here and you go to break.
Okay.
And then I'm going, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm going to refresh my drink and I don't know, I might smoke something.
Oh.
All right.
She mean a cigar, y'all. She ain't smoking then. Not major.
No. Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
We'll take a little break and we'll be right back.
Bye.
All right, y'all, we are back and we are back with Naked Nikki and we are going to let her explain grieving a partner in loss.
Okay. So the first part before break, we were grieving a partner through a breakup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, you know, we're going to go into grieving a partner through loss, like through death. And this is what I was trying to explain to Babe. And, you know, she felt like she wasn't getting the right answers that she wanted when she had posted it in her group. And this is where I was telling you, man, like, Babe, like, you got to dumb that down a little bit. You were asking for too much.
In one question. Right.
And that was one of the reasons why I didn't fully go on there and answer the question, because it was too much. You know what I mean? To actually go in there and answer that. So I did lose, you know, multiple partners that I have been in love with at one point of time. And it was all traumatic because I feel like I got hit back to back. It was all within, I'll say maybe a year and a half, maybe a 2 year span, you know, my son, when I had came home from prison, was, you know, asking me about his father, and I had to go and I had to look for that man, and for me to find him in an obituary in a Google search, that damn near killed me. But when I had seen it, I'm like, oh, I don't believe that, you know?
Right.
And I, you know, I did a more extensive search. Remember, you have said, if y'all guys have listened to previous episodes back in like our first, you know, couple of seasons, my fiance today did do a background check on me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I actually did basically the same thing to find my son's father when I had came home from prison, and you know, like his mom's information and whatnot came up, and I called her, and I when I was in the mid search, excuse me, I did see a obituary come up, but I'm like, he's only 32, 33, like this can't be right, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you know, so I paid the $20 to get the information and called his mom, left the message, you know, like, hey, like, my name is Nikki. I'm looking for Keith.
If this is, you know, the right number, somebody, you know, like, give me a call back. His mom called me back. I want to say it was maybe the same day, if not the next day. But I'm pretty sure that I was sitting on the back porch with that same glass of wine when that lady called back, when Miss Gail called back. And the tone in her voice let me know that what I read on, you know, Facebook
was real.
Yes. And, you know, I'm explaining to her, like, Miss Gail, you remember you used to be mad at me, like, take your little fast ass home, Nicole. You know what I mean? Like, back in the day when you lived in Fabio, she was like, I know exactly who you are, honey. You know? And for me to have to, I'm tearing it up now, to have that type of experience over the phone, finding out the first person that I ever had sex with in my life.
Right.
Yeah, y'all. Like, I left that out. Like, Keith was the very first person that I lost my virginity to that, yes. That was the first person that I ever really, you know, like, cared about. He was so small and cute. And he was like, he was a sweetheart. He was an asshole. He was smart, too smart for his own good. But, you know, we were young and we had a good time. I never thought in a million years that he would be gone, you know, between us guys. Like, I never told my son who his father was. There's a whole lot of shit that's going on behind that. But I feel like, do I unfold some of that drama within our podcast interviews?
If you absolutely want to. I mean,
no, I'm asking you. I feel like I've already disclosed a lot of some of that information.
I think you have, but I think when you did, I don't think you said names.
Oh, so now I'm getting detailed.
Yeah, now you said names.
All right. Let me shut the hell up, because I don't want nobody to come back and get me. But, you know, it was a lot. I feel like that was the first time that that's the first time I couldn't breathe. Mm. When I was on the phone with his mother, and I knew in my heart, like, I never told anybody who my son's father was. You know what I'm saying? This is 18, 19 years later. You know that I'm finally telling this truth. And for me to find out that the person that I gave my virginity to was gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a downward spiral.
Yeah.
I want to say a few months after that, another person that I was in a relationship with, because, you know, my son's father, he passed away when I was in prison. If my son wouldn't have really been like, yo, like, I need to know, like, what's up, mom? I probably never really would have looked. He would have always just been that perfect guy to me. You know what I mean? And then later on down the line, a female that I was in a relationship with that I truly love, but when we talk about toxic,
yeah,
and she wasn't a stud,
yeah,
bitch, devil, that's what the fuck. Well, no, wait a minute,
yeah, bring it back,
yeah. And I'm not even gonna say that, because she had her own demons, mm-hmm, as well, and we did. We loved each other very. And it was very good at one point in time. She passed away too. And I'll say this, it was hard for me to navigate that pain because I was so angry at her.
Mm-hmm.
But I still mourned her as well. Like, it still hurt. It's a different kind of hurt. It's a hurt that I've lost both of my parents. And me losing partners that I've been in relationships with It's totally different. Yeah, it's a totally different hurt. I can tell you that, babe. It is. It's a totally different hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it was back to back, so see, I was and dealing I with all of that.
I can't relate because I haven't had the loss of either of my parents yet, God forbid.
Right.
Or, like I said, any of my exes either.
And I feel like that's why you worded the question
the way that you worded it,
because you don't know.
Yeah.
But now,
had
listening
I had
to,
the experience, it would have been a completely different
right
approach.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I was trying to get you to understand. And now that we're having this conversation, you know what I'm saying? Now that we're having this conversation, you see why I felt like, you know, you needed to dumb the question down. Mm-hmm. Because it's a very complex question, especially for somebody like myself who has been through these type of, you know, like things. I actually had someone that I dated that I loved very much was murdered. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We've definitely talked about her mm-hmm. in previous episodes of the podcast Brown Liquor. And she did, like, she meant a lot to me. And it hurt. Like it was like three different phases. It's something that's totally different. I feel like
I mean, because there's like in psychology, there's like five steps to grief.
Mm-hmm.
But you said there's like three different phases. What would you say were those main three?
I'll say three different phases for three different categories. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just going off of my experience. One, you know, was somebody that I was in a relationship with that I really did not care about when they passed away. But when they passed away, the grief hit me. Like, it hurt just as much as I feel like it hurt when I lost, you know, my son's father is well. I feel like all of the grief was tied together, but, you know, like in a different way, like it has its different categories. And I feel like we're all human. So it all depends on where you at in your life with that specific person within a breakup that you're breaking up with, or, you know what I'm saying? If you were to lose that person and you are grieving. So this shit is definitely deep. I feel like I'm already an emotional person. I'm a Scorpio. People say that Scorpios are not emotional. We are one of the most emotional beings. We're very strong. But at the end of the day, all that emotion is up in here, heart-wise. Oh, man.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's
all right. I'm sorry, guys. I actually
just knocked the mic.
Yeah, okay. Might have tapped the mic a little bit. But yes, yeah. And me sitting here having this conversation with you, there is a lot of emotions that are whirling around in me right now because of the choices that I made. And just seeing the death. And once again, a lot of the things that I had done and a lot of my accomplishments arose from out of those ashes.
Like, yeah, you said, man. Out of the pain. Out you should pain. Get a phoenix. Yeah. Don't you got a phoenix?
That's why I got the phoenix right mm-hmm. here. And guys, it's sitting right in the middle of my chest, and the phoenix head slightly comes up on my neck.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? Because I needed to feel that pain. I needed to feel that burn. And it was like, when that needle was going down in your chest, yes, it's definitely taking your breath away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who it is. But it's definitely taking your breath away. And at that moment in my life, like, I needed the breath to be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have any, like you said, about the choices that you've made? Do you have any regrets?
Yes. But as of today, you know, there's nothing that I can do about it. The only thing that I can do is be a better person moving forward, a better mother, a better, I would say daughter, but my parents are gone.
Right.
So, you know, just a better person, you know what I mean? A better mother all around to my son. And those are the regrets that I have. I have one regret. Everything else, you know what I'm saying, was life lessons that I was going to have to, I feel like, learn anyway. One way or another, yeah. Yes. Especially the lifestyle that I was living. But for me not to tell my son or my son's father, you know, who they were, you know, for me to just keep that to myself for all of those years, and for me to finally go to unlock that door and to find out that he was long gone, and I had to, you know what I'm saying, tell my son that. And there's a lot of other things that surrounding that. There's a little book that's coming to where y'all guys can really, you know, see and feel what I was going through, because everything that I write is emotional as hell. But yes, I am going to go into detail. I've always tiptoed around it, but I'm going to go into detail about everything that actually happened during, you know what I'm saying, that time. Yes, I really wish that I would have said something. You know what I mean? I had my reasons why. They were shitty too. Gotta get the book, you know? But, yeah.
I want to ask another question, but I don't want you to give too much away. So it's almost
no, like, ask, because I may be able to duck and dodge.
Was it shame?
Shame?
Like you said, you...
No.
Okay.
No. I'll answer it. It was anger. Uh-huh. It was lack of knowledge mm-hmm. of myself.
Okay.
It's gonna be deep. And once again, I'm about to start crying. So let me just go ahead and, you know what I'm saying, stir it up. But I'm glad that it's out here and we have it, and we have it in, you know what I'm saying, a public eye. Because now you can hold me accountable. Like, mm-hmm. babe, like, I need to know, like, what happened? Because these are things that I've never really, like, we've had conversations, but as far as me going in depth, no.
Yeah.
I haven't went into depth with you about how I felt.
And I don't, like, hold you accountable for that, because I know it's a lot of emotion that goes into
yes,
that.
Yes, there's a lot of emotion behind
it. It's that. Like, I don't want you to go to that place and dig into that, because you tend to be in emotional spaces for a little minute before yes. you can come back out.
Come back out, exactly.
And that's why
exactly.
I don't, like, push you to go there unless it's absolutely necessary. Right. Like, we Amen. Have those conversations. We may have a little bit of a conversation and move on to something different. And that's fine with me. But I trust that there's nothing, you know what I mean? Like, that I have to worry about on my end. Like, I know what I need to know.
Yes. And you do. You have the good part
yeah.
of me.
Yeah.
Yes. You...
I have the healing version.
The healing version yes. of me, yes. And because I have 9 years on you, I would never disrespect you the way that I've been disrespected in this so-called game of love. I would never do to you what has been done to me, because I know what it feels like to mm-hmm. be hurt. Like, I cuss your ass out and just be like, you know what, bitch, I'm not fucking with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would really walk away before I would ever, you know what I'm saying, put you through some of the things that I've been through. But I feel like that's everything that I've been through allows me to love you unconditionally and mm-hmm. wholeheartedly. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you're my person. And I had to wait those extra 10 years for you to be legal age, so I wasn't on no R. Kelly / Diddy / motherfucking Russell Simmons type shit. God damn it. I love you.
At the end of the day, we met when we were both of legal age.
Right. Right. And in legal sound in mind.
Right.
Because I've been through so much shit, babe, to where it made me question my sanity. I had to do some therapy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To get to you, to be able to.
And I was happy that we love met you. That you was in therapy.
You know what I mean? And I still struggle with, you know what I'm saying, certain things. It's hard for me to actually live with a person. I love you a lot. So, yes, it is. The square footage that we live in, it kills me sometimes. Like, God damn it. Ah! I be feeling like Kevin. Because I'm so, you know what I'm saying, used to being by myself, and I had really cut a part of me off to where I didn't want to share a space. My family wasn't even allowed in my house.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't want nobody disrupting my peace. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just, but I've gotten, you know, better with it. And yeah, like I definitely wanted to be with you. So yeah, I was going to have to figure that out. Cause girl,
yeah.
All right,
you
now
was about to say something.
Right.
With that being said, we appreciate you, Naked Nikki, for coming through and hanging out with us on Brown Liquor. We love you. We miss you on this podcast. We are gonna come back with Shonda Sykes second before we get out of here. Anything mm-hmm. you want to say to the people before you leave us again?
Before I leave, this is the reason why my name is Naked Nikki. It's not just because I had my titties out on every episode. It's always because you're going to get a piece of me. And I hope y'all guys listen to this and, you know, allow yourselves to be vulnerable in where you're at in your life, man. It's all right to be fucked up. It's all right to, you know what I'm saying, be in a good place or a bad place or not knowing, you know what I'm saying,
which way to go
or where you need to be. The whole thing is go through your process, cry a little bit, fuck a little bit, spend a little buddy a little bit, get high a little bit, and then keep on moving. Like, that's the only thing that you can do. Don't get stuck in a rut. And even if you do get stuck in a rut, just remember, man, Naked Nikki, man, she already been there. I've been there. I've done that. As they say, baby, email us.
And somebody always got it worse than you. You know what I mean? Somebody else, somebody out there always may have it worse than you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the end of the day, we need you. We need your stories. We need your light. We need your perspective. Everybody needs to know the things that people are going through to help them get through what they're going through in right. some way or another. So don't be afraid to just share your light, shine your light. And you know what I'm saying? Talk about the things that you're experiencing. You never know how it may help somebody else.
You all right, baby?
Sorry.
Okay.
All right, with that being said, we are going to take a break and we'll be right back with Shonda Sykes second before we get out of here, y'all. Stay tuned. Almost done with this week's episode. We'll be right back. All right, y'all. Before we get out of here, it is time for the last segment of the show. I hope y'all enjoyed having Naked Nikki on the podcast as much as I did. Y'all know we do miss her over here on Brown Liquor, but hopefully I can get her to come back to do more episodes with us. And maybe I will make a poll for her to see that she is truly missed and valued on this show. So if y'all see the poll, make sure you vote and let us know if you want Naked Nikki back on the podcast for future episodes. But we're going to get into this week's Shonda Sykes second. Before we get out of here, and like I told y'all, these are random, you know, sometimes they are relative to the topic, sometimes they won't be. I just literally make a note in my phone when things come to me, so I'm just gonna read what I wrote down. So for this week, I have learn I'm sorry, Jesus Lord, I don't know why that just threw me. Learn the concept of serving. Sometimes we get stuck in our heads and in our own mess. The best thing we can do to get out of our own way is by serving others. Volunteering, donating clothes and shoes you know you're not going to wear anymore, reading to children at a local school, or even a nursing home. The intrinsic reward we get from helping someone else is sometimes all we need to renew our minds and spirits and get us back on the right track. All right. So I hope that helped y'all this week. I will see y'all next week on another episode of Brown Liquor. Actually, I won't. I'm sorry. I have a pre-recorded podcast extra for y'all for next week, because next week we will be at PodFest. Again, I'm a little nervous. Your girl is scared, but here we are. We're doing the things. I've said I wanted Brown Liquor to be big, and now I have an opportunity to spread the word, get us out there, get our faces out there. So I'm going to take my own advice and do the thing. Okay, so y'all pray for me. Just pray for me. All right. And with that being said, we're going to get up out of here. I'll see y'all next week on Brown Liquor Podcast. Love you. Bye.
This has been a production of Brown Liquor Media Group. Tune in every Saturday, wherever you get your podcasts, to catch these vibes. Follow us on all social media platforms at Brown Liquor and join our Facebook group, Brown Liquor Lesbian Conversations, where your voice is always heard and your opinion matters.